I was a dead man, out in the cold. Life was a pit and I was deep in a hole, just about to give up. Then lo and behold, a voice from within said, save your soul. Yo, brothers and sisters all around the globe, I got a story, word. It's gotta be told to my family, friends, fans, even my foes. It's like this, y'all, this is how it goes. I was out in the world without a name or a goal, huh? Out of school and out of control. Set in my ways, yeah, stuck in the mold. I'm going the wrong way down a one-way road. Young and bold, I didn't want to be told. I used to steal and brag about the stuff I stole. Then one bright day, my mind got blown when a voice from within said, save your soul. I didn't want to be told. Things were looking up and I was on the roll. I was a rude boy and a Romeo, and anywhere I went I started the show. I had money, woman, plenty of gold and an overinflated EGO. I was a dead man, but I didn't know until a voice from within said, save your soul. A movie, and I was playing the role of a black youth living in the ghetto. Where the action was, that's where I'd go. Right or wrong, I'll be going with the flow. But what you reap is what you sow. It's like karma, the bad you do will follow you around. And I was going down, right down, with my face in the ground. Two hands bound to a siren sound. None of my so-called friends anywhere to be found. As I thought to myself, in life you're alone. A voice from within said, anyone home? Yes, Lord, well here I be. If I ain't ready yet, I will never be. I'm sorry for the things that I did before. Believe me, Lord, I won't do them no more. I'll be an arrow if you will be my bow. And anywhere I'm sent, I'll gladly go. I'll be a witness all around the world to every man, every woman, every boy and girl. Cause I was born in the ghetto with a strong survive and with a will to strive. I began to rise from 79, or was it 75? When reggae music began to open my eyes about the truth, the right, Jah the Most High, and how to achieve that little pie in the sky. Inspirated, yeah, I was totally motivated to the point where I decided to chop the mic. But my direction was not to only those of my complexion, but the brown, yellow, red, and the white man. Critics criticize, cynics cynicize, any entertainer with a message they victimize. But in this world of sin, it's no surprise. So with the media, I sympathize. I hear the rich man's laughter, hear the poor man's cries. Hypocrites advertise their lies through their eyes. Everyone's born, most of us die, but only God's children get the prize. Don't be a fool, be cool, come on and get wise, yeah. Wise up, no compromise, and listen to the voice that resides within your mind. Cause God has sent a guide to all mankind. Choice is yours, life above or death below. It's up to you to save your soul.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am The Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace. Destiny, coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. to join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Hello, soul sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Saturday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio. And this is a brand new show that I want to welcome you to. I'm really excited to share with you. But first, I want to introduce to you our co-host, Miss Tracy Murphy. Are you there, Tracy?
I'm here. How is everyone?
Welcome, welcome. I would like to go ahead.
How are you?
We are, you know what, I'm doing really good, and everybody here at the studio is all excited about this new show, so we're just going to take it from the top and really know why we're here. And today, we're here to focus and elevate on what it is to have safety in a Leo home. And a lot of you are asking, what is a Leo? And a Leo is a law enforcement officer. And really, when I say law enforcement, Tracy, as you know, law enforcement really does cover more than just police departments. We're talking judges, we're talking lawyers, we're talking military. Most of the military really are here to enforce our federal laws and our international laws, correct? So really, it's more than just police officer involved. It's really law enforcement. And you know, if we're upstanding citizens, we're all law enforcement kind of people, right?
Right.
So I would like for you to introduce yourself to the audience, kind of share how how you and I got introduced as well. And then we're going to go ahead and go right into really the heart and soul of why we were connected, the soul that brought us together. And I'm going to let you talk about this soul. But first, share with our audience who you are.
Okay, well, my name is Tracy, and I've survived domestic violence in several different ways. One of them being a life-threatening medical emergency caused by a stab wound in my back, and it was really difficult for me to find help, because before that incident, there was never any physical abuse, there was never anything to show or prove, and so when it came to taking my information to law enforcement, they really didn't have anything to work with. And so in that, I started searching for help. I started searching for somebody who really could understand what was going on. And I was fearing for my safety every day, because the guy had already almost killed me, and there was tons of stalking and really scary, serious stuff that was going on, threatening mine and my kid's life. Well, I ran across Susan Murphy Milano, and Susan immediately told me about this book that she was soon to be publishing, which was called Time's Up. Time's Up is a guide for safety for any victim or survivor of abuse, however you want to put it, that really doesn't know how to take the next steps. And for one, when you're in that chaotic, crazy place where you really don't know what's safe and what's not safe, you know, there's a lot of mistakes that are made. And I made plenty of them. And I made several different attempts to leave my situation and would find myself back, you know, under his roof again. And until I read this book and until I really understood the safety aspect of the whole toxic, dangerous, violent, abusive whatever you want to call it, relationship. The safety is most important. And not only is it your physical safety, but it's your mental safety. Mm-hmm. And if we're not protected, we're not going to feel safe enough to make the right decisions. Our decisions are going to be based on survival, whatever we can come up with at that time. And that oftentimes gets people in a lot of trouble or ended up, you know, missing, dead. Tragic story. So she has this form of documenting abuse. And what to document is
our... Before we get into all that, why don't we talk a little bit about the reason why we're working together, the reason how we got connected, really highlight who this soul was and who wrote this book. And again, I'll leave this in your good hands.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm trying to say is until I realized what was important to document, is when I was able to find my own strength, courage to move forward. Half the stuff that I was going through, I didn't even understand was dangerous. So here's Susan, who comes into my life. She's teaching me these things, and she herself has her own tragic story of losing her mother and her father to domestic violence, her father being a... homicide detective, and the abuse went on behind closed doors. The mother, she would oftentimes end up in the emergency room not being able to tell what's really happening. And throughout Susan's life, she was always trying to protect her mom. And she would call the police. She would call for help. And there's a dynamic that really got in the way of everything, and that's that when it's in the police department, their partners can have the ability to, you know, make or break if something's really happening. And in Susan's case, the partner did not take what Susan was saying seriously, and as many reports as she made, nothing would happen. She went to the point of lighting a fire in the back of the house, thinking, well, maybe if I light a fire in the back of the house, the fire department will come and that will stop the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So years, of course, would go on of this. Eventually, Susan is grown. She moves. She's on her own doing her thing. And she finally supports her mom enough, and her mom leaves the relationship. She files for divorce. And living in her own place and her father living in another, Susan's still always worried about her. Well, one day when Susan had come home or went to her mom's, her mother wasn't there. And she just had this sinking feeling. And she went to her father's house and drove up and saw her mom's car there. Mm-hmm. And when she sat there, she just had this gut-wrenching feeling. And as she went in, she found her mother in the kitchen, shot, and her father upstairs with a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Right. And she was 24 years old when this happened, correct?
That's right. In
1989, if I'm not mistaken.
And when this happened, you know, you can only imagine the devastation. You know, it's probably, she could never recover. Nobody ever really can recover from a tragedy like that. But what she did is she took this passion and she just was determined to educate every victim out there, to document their abuse, to get it down, to find help, to get safe. And she died doing it. She's created many tools. She's spoken all over the place, conferences. She does a lot of working with Q Missing Persons. Her book, Time's Up, was the second to the last book. Her latest one was Holding My Hand Through Hell. And that was her life story, which if anybody can get their hands on and read, it's so worth the read to really understand the depth, really understand what a child actually grows up with in an environment like that, and not being able to find help and just doing whatever she could to save her mother, which was not possible. And so that's where this the book Time's Up then developed into, she created an evidentiary abuse affidavit, which is basically a legal document that can be used in court that can also assist legal advocates, law enforcement, the whole judicial system, in the way that by putting together this form of documentation, it's prepared, it's done before the abuse escalates to the point where the woman's missing, or, you know, permanent damage, you know, injury or something. But the little things, the identification of the person, the incidents of abuse, the vehicle that he drives, and then by that person creating this document and then speaking this document into a camera where it's that person's own words, that person then gets this document notarized, has this video, and delivers it to the appropriate agency or whoever will keep it safe. Now, if it's not something you want to turn into the police, because a lot of people, you know, they're not quite ready, or depending on, you know, the level of circumstance, but they are in fear, it's the best person to help, because it can prevent the escalation. It can prevent the tragedy, just because there's the video documentation where, like in my case, he didn't physically abuse me, so I didn't have injuries to show. And it's just my word basically against his. Or the person, if let's say they go missing or they're dead and they don't have, you know, let's say they're missing and they don't have any proof, they can't find them. Well, if they have this evidentiary abuse affidavit already created and law enforcement has that, they have everything they need to find the suspect, find the prosecute him, and convict him.
Right. I'm going to take you back a little bit and let's talk a little bit more about your relationship with Susan, because I know that I met Susan quite a few years ago. And again, you and I have talked about why she's close to my heart. And that is because I kind of resemble her mother, and my childhood resembles her. I was married to law enforcement for almost 20 years of my life. And
now
you
really identify.
Incredible level on so many different avenues. It's not even funny now. Now when I really look at my testimony from the perspective that I have, I know exactly the reasons why God has had me in these places and why my perspective is very clear. I was married to two law enforcement officers. The second one saved my life from the first one. And however, I met them both on the same day when I was 18 years old. So it's ironic that my life has turned out the way that it has. And my second husband is a whole nother story. And so that is the reason why I now speak on law enforcement officer involved domestic violence and now sexual assault. So
I have a question. So when you were involved, when you were married, and these incidences would happen, what were you able to do? Were you able to do anything about it?
No.
I mean, because, you know, he's high up in the police, and he's got basically power.
Truly, when you're married to law enforcement and something terrible happens, you don't pick up the phone and dial 911.
Susan, she wasn't able to get anywhere by calling 911.
Oh, God, no.
Huh.
No, you absolutely don't want to dial 911, okay? Not only just because more than likely the people come to the door, your husband knows, okay, number one.
Right.
Number two, it's just going to anger them in such a way that's different than if it's somebody not in law enforcement. You see, you're telling their job, their work on them.
Right.
And that is their whole livelihood. That's their whole individual person. If you're just married to a person, if you're just married to a guy and you're dialing 911 on him, okay, the cops are coming, so what? It's not a threat to him, okay?
But when the cop is your husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It really
puts that person in a vulnerable place, unsafe place.
All the way around.
So, wow. So on that, what does that woman or heaven forbid man do if that's their case?
And that's what, even now, as you know, Tracy, we have a case that happened here in Orange County, California, not so long ago. And sad to say that after 19 years of me being away from all of this, and I really tried to walk away from all of this drama, you know that I did, I am really sad to say nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in the system. And that if you are married to law enforcement, there is a safe place. And that is the sad part of it. And yes, I've talked to hundreds of law enforcement officers, and all of them tell me, no, the local police departments will be there for you. But the truth is the truth is the truth. And we know that that is not what happened in Huntington Beach, California.
Right.
And I love law enforcement. Don't get me wrong. I do. Okay.
Would you say that, for instance, like these detectives or these officers that have maybe some, abuse that are going on in their family, would you say that comes from something like, let's say, the traumas or the things that they go through as a law enforcement officer?
Oh, I think it probably stems from before. There's a reason why cops become cops. And so it starts there, but then it gets worse and it elevates go ahead.
So what I'm thinking is, what about the people that do go through, the officers that do go through really serious, tragic, traumatic cases, where they're traumatized from it? Does it have an effect on them?
Yes.
In their home life?
And again, if you come into this, and I do, I call police officer work, law enforcement, a ministry. And when you choose to go into ministry, you really need to choose to go in very balanced, and that's part of the problem. A lot of, in fact, Brame, up in Washington, the state of Washington, the chief of police who ended up killing himself and his wife, he didn't pass the psych test. And how he got on to being the chief of police is beyond me. Now, things are a little bit different now.
What about that Dorner case?
That's a whole other show that we're going to do and talk about.
That'll be fun.
That case alone is so interesting that I understood it from so many different perspectives. Really, really. I really did. Watching an officer snap like that and understanding the psychology and the demon behind that snap and the logic behind it is incredible. And I totally understood.
Tell me about that, though. What would you call that kind of psychology? What is the psychology behind that?
Law enforcement is kind of crazy. And what happens is, really, if you're balanced coming in, you're going to be able to maintain a little bit more balance than if you came in out of balance or out of balance. And right. let me explain. There's one officer to my right, and he grew up with a mother who was murdered by his stepfather. So he grows up, he's going to go and he's going to get all the bad guys. You see his mentality?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's an officer over here. Okay, then there's an officer over here, and he was just Joe Slow, Smo, you know, whatever. And he was just, you know, come and go. Nothing really tragic ever happened to him, and he becomes a cop. Mm-hmm. Now, two different mentalities. Okay.
Hmm.
Two completely different mentalities. You put them through the academy. They go through the academy. They're both trained the same way. One of them, officer of the military, whatever. Okay. Now you get them out on the field, and they go out and they see some of the most horrific things that can ever happen to you. And they say that highway patrol officers don't have it as bad as police officers, but I beg to differ. When you go up to a car, you never know what you're walking up to. At least police officers, they know what they're going and they're heading into. When you're walking up to a car, you never know. Okay?
Gosh. That's gotta just be so traumatizing.
Okay? So then they witness these terrible things that happen. People come and try and do the most horrific things to them. They see a horrific accident where a child is killed and their wife just has a baby, right? And mm-hmm. they're supposed to come home and they're supposed to be great. Well, what I've learned and what you've learned when it comes to abuse is all that bad goes somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they bring this bad home because they can't go to a therapist, because if they go to a therapist, then they're going to be labeled as not being strong enough to do the job.
Oh, interesting.
So they take all
so
that.
So really that mental health awareness about the stigma really needs to be changed.
Oh, yeah. That's key. Absolutely. Now, that's the $60,000 question. Now, you tell me how that can be. Okay?
Well, and people like us.
This is something anybody. I've been trying to get people to look at since 1991, really loud. I've been trying to get them to. And
you know what they're saying. Squeezing wheels gets the oil.
Yeah, no kidding, right? No kidding. It's interesting, and this is why Susan is very, very special. Why don't you share with the audience who Susan Murphy, or where they can get a hold of Susan Murphy Milano's information, and what is ironic is that it was a year ago this month. And wasn't it that she really understood how sick she was? And
it's
incredible that everything happened so quickly. And she is really my inspiration on why I do what I do. And so why don't you share with our audience where we can get a hold of Susan's information. And as soon as you do, I'm going to play you a song. And this song is really a song that I see. Susan gave us a lot of tools in our toolbox. And this is a song that we all sing as soldiers. And we salute the abuse that we've gone through. And we salute it because we've had to come to learn to respect it, both the accountability, the self, who it made us, so on and so forth. So I want to play this song to you. So first I want you to share where our audience can get a hold of Susan Murphy Milano's information, where they can get a hold of her books, the names of her books if you have them, And then I'm going to play this song as a salute to our abuse. And then we'll come back after this song.
Okay. Hello. Do you want is it the music first or me first?
No, you first.
All right. Well, you can contact imaginepublicity.com for any scheduling of training events, anything in that regard. To learn more about the evidentiary abuse affidavit and her books, you can go to documentsabuse.com. And she's got four books, actually. She's got the Defending Our Lives, Moving Out, Moving On. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. Okay, what did I say? Defending Our Lives, Moving Out, Moving On. Oh, Time's Up and Holding My Hand Through Hell, which is her last book, which is her biography of her entire story and why she does what she does or has done. And I'm grateful for her. She's taught me, spent 3 years mentoring me, teaching me everything that she possibly could, hours and hours of time that is, you know, just, yeah. It's a blessing that people can actually get their hands on to her product out there, her book.
Okay.
And
we're
in those books,
we're going to talk more about her products when we get back and what they did for us and what we're going to do to spread the awareness and promote the education. So this song, I want you to sit back and listen to, my dear friend, and know that we, because of Susan and because of all that we've been through, we choose to salute all this abuse goodbye and really just sit back and listen.
You wanna walk away, you ain't got nothing to say. I salute you, yeah. Go on out the door now, you take care. No more tears to shed. What you expected me to beg? Well, I'm not, I'm done. So when you leave, you close the door behind you.
Cause I'm feeling kinda taller than you
lately. I know just what to do.
I feel like doing my hair.
My hair.
I feel like calling some of my friends.
Well, my girlfriend.
I feel like going to my club
and partying.
And I'm a soldier in this world. I stand alone. I can't be strong. I walk a mile. I made it home. It's good to know it.
And you think that your shit don't stink, what it do, hey. And when it comes to me, you don't have a clue. Took me all of these years to realize that you don't belong here. I can do better. You say I'll never do better. Yeah, right, whatever.
Oh.
And we are back. I can totally see that Susan's up there going, "You are my soldier girls." Go ahead.
I committed to her long ago that I would always carry on the document, the abuse and evidentiary abuse affidavit, because I believe in it more than anything that I've ever believed in. It saved my life. It saves other people's lives. I see it happen constantly by this education. And really, that's basically what this whole thing is all about, is the education, understanding it, learning about it, and learning how to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, Susan, a year ago, found out that she had stage 4 cancer. It was ovarian, correct?
No, it was in several different areas. I think it originated in her stomach area. Maybe it was in her ovarian, but unfortunately it spread very fast.
Okay. So she found out she had stage 4 cancer a year ago at this time. And I think it was
June.
A couple later. Yeah, it was the beginning of June that I reached out to her, and that's when I found out. And she knew that God had her by the back of the throat and said, "You no longer are going to avoid yourself." And here is where I really want to touch base on why we're going to continue with her legacy. And it was because of this reason. And this is also the reason why I'm very passionate about what I'm doing and what we are all creating here with 4 International. We are a for-profit organization that is coming together to elevate and empower overcomers such as Susan Murphy Delano, so we can make sure that we do have health insurance in case something bad, such as what just happened.
You know,
Susan.
That's a really interesting topic, and we can have a whole show about that if you'd like, because that's a huge problem with women.
We're going to have a whole show on that.
I can't wait. I'm ready. Sign me up for that one.
Yeah, Susan found out a year ago that she had stage 4 cancer, and a lot of us CEOs and spokespeople for these types of issues are walking around self-employed with no health insurance, with no, nothing to fall back on, no retirement. And we're really passionate about doing God's work. And Susan finds out she has stage 4 cancer, and within 5 months, she is gone to be with the Lord in heaven. And she knew that she couldn't avoid not taking care of herself anymore. Because what happens is, and I see this a lot, and this is the reason why I really believe we need to have balance, is that we take care of ourselves, and we take care of ourselves first. And Susan was so dedicated, and she was so focused on helping all of us and making sure all of us, whether it was us who were sending victims to her or the victims themselves, we were all there tugging on her. So do you want to share anything about that, Tracy?
About Susan, I could go on forever, but let's see. What I would say is the last time I spoke to her, well, not the last time I spoke to her, the first time I spoke to her was when she passed. That didn't come out right. She called me when she found out she had cancer, and she had told me. This was after hours and hours and days and weeks and months of having these long conversations on the phone. And when she called, she says, "Are you sitting down?" And I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. We're going to start talking about another case or something. And that's when she told me. I was floored. I think I was speechless. And the only thing I could think of to say was, okay, what do we have to do? And she laid it out. And she says, we got to keep this going. And make this known. We need to save these lives. And since then, that's when you and I came together, obviously with the same passion, and here we are today.
My take on that, again, when I found out Susan was sick, we started praying for her right away. And again, my heart was saying the same thing that you were, you two were already doing what I kept saying to God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And it's no coincidences in life. And I do believe that she is orchestrating this all from above, because we truly did not know our own strength. And meeting Susan, she was such an incredible mirror and reflection of the strength that we're using right now to fuel all that we're doing. And she teaches us how to find it within ourselves. Excuse me?
You know, she teaches us how to find that within ourselves by teaching us how to have enough respect for ourselves to even protect ourselves. And that's where it starts at the very beginning, because an abuse victim is so broken down. You know, they're very broken, and their self-esteem is down to nothing. And just a little bit of Susan's information, a radio show, a something will give you empowerment, will make you feel strong. And she had this ability like no other. Her radio shows still are on Blog Talk Radio, and I believe anybody can find them. But they're worth listening to, even now, even 10 years from now. They will always be valuable information.
Susan's legacy
will live on.
Yeah, what I'm excited about is how we're going to take everything that she's left us. We're going to put it in some kind of program or illustration, or I don't know yet how it's going to look, but we're going to take all of this information and this library of tools that she left, and we're going to take it out to the police departments and let them know why we are doing what we're doing, why we're called. My own personal story and your personal story.
The beautiful thing about it is it's not something that really needs to be sold to anybody, because basically any law enforcement or any person in that judicial system somewhere is going to benefit, because it reduces all of the work that they have to do, especially the advocates. The victim advocates are the most important person, I believe, in the whole case, because they have the ability to work with the victim and actually provide services, yet also be that little bit of, something to hold on to for hope. And with a evidentiary abuse affidavit, for a victim advocate to be able to help that victim create this evidentiary abuse affidavit, it would just save them hours and tons of work.
And this is where I think we're all coming together for this purpose, because there are the law enforcement officer involved domestic violence and sexual assault advocates, and those fall under Crystal Judson advocates. Those people need to get into their hands all the information from Susan Murphy Milano, the evidentiary, I can't say it with my jaw, so you're going to have to say it.
The EAA. Just say the EAA.
Yes, the EAA.
Time's up.
So here is what I am putting out to the universe right now. I really want to get together with Lane Judson. Lane Judson is Crystal Judson's father. Crystal Judson was married to David Brame. David Brame was the chief of police of Tacoma, Washington, and on April 26th of 2003, he killed his wife, Crystal, and himself in front of his children. And the Crystal Judson Brame Police Protocol Program, under the Domestic Violence or Violence Against Women Act under the United States, was formed, and $187 million is allocated annually to educate law enforcement how to deal with domestic violence when it comes to their own employees. So I would like to see us do this. We need to find a grant writer that can help us get some of those funds so we can go ahead and hire the advocates so we can train them under Crystal Judson Advocates with the information left by Susan Murphy Milano and the EA, say it again,
EAA. Evidentiary Abuse Affidavit.
David. So I can see how all of this is coming about. We need to train these advocates, these special advocates that deal with law enforcement officer involved, with Susan's information. They all need to have that information. They are called Crystal Judson Advocates. We need to get together with Crystal's father. We need to find the right people to do that. Now I understand how it's all coming together. We need to take this information into the hands of law enforcement and educate them on BRAME. And BRAME is the whole issue of why officers are not able to deal with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is causing trauma in a Leo's home and not safety in a Leo's home. That's the reason why Susan ended up dying trying to save her mother forever and ever and ever.
That's right. Over and over and over again.
Yes. So in each one of us, in each victim, we were each victim that she got through us. It's just such a cycle. So this is what we're going to do. You're going to train a whole bunch of advocates. And not just regular advocates. You're going to train advocates, Tracy, that really are specializing in a field that they're absolutely on their own. They are all alone out there. And there is no way that Susan died so they could still feel all alone out there after all this time.
No, she created these tools to last forever.
So, exactly. Absolutely. And so how do you see things going forward from here?
How do I see us going forward from here? Oh, I see myself all over the place. We've got a lot of work to do.
You think. Now, did Delilah have anything that she wanted to say today, do you think? Or would you like to speak for her? Or what do you think she has to say?
I couldn't speak for Delilah, but I can speak for the evidentiary abuse affidavit and Susan and Trenza. And all I want to say is, golly, let me think about this. Susan's spirit's here forever. Her legacy will live on. Her books are her radio shows, her journals, anything that she has put out there is priceless information. And we are just carrying the torch for her. And we're going to stop at nothing and do what it takes to make sure that everybody gets this knowledge.
Perfect. I'd like to see next week that we get a guest on. Who do you think that we should go for first?
Oh, I have a couple thoughts, but we can talk about it this week. I'll check the availabilities of some people. But I have a couple ideas. I don't want to say anything right now until I can confirm it.
Okay. Is there anybody in this field that you know of that is out as far as really in mainstream that we want to go for? That's more of what I was thinking.
First stop for us, I believe, should be crime survivors. I believe that Patricia would have a great understanding, and the fact that Orange County Sheriff is very much involved with crime survivors, I think that this would be a great opportunity for us to present what we have, see where they're at with it. And for me, I don't see how they can they can disregard it.
And I so know this is of God. So in October, we are going to be having a booth, and you will be able to meet Tracy face-to-face, and she will be able to be there, and we're going to have all of Susan Murphy Milano's information and as much free information.
We'll have
books.
We'll have books. We'll have books. We'll have support bracelets. We'll have the information that you need for your apps and where to go to sign up for any training. We'll have it all there, right there for you.
Yes, and it is the Survive and Thrive 5K Walk Run, and it's also called a Health and Safety Expo. And
it's
pretty spectacular. It's going to be on October 12th. And it's going to be at the Orange County Sheriff's Regional Training Academy, and that is in Tustin, California. And so we will be having a booth there, and Tracy, you will be there, and we're going to make sure that everything is available. And it's going to be fun. We're going to have fun, but we are going to be there. So if you are a victim and if you are listening, we will be available for you to talk to us. If you are stopping by and you need to give us information, and I really don't know how to say this except for just coming out and saying it. If you're in a situation that you're afraid to come out and talk to us, there's always ways to get information to us. And Tracy, would you like to share what your thoughts on that? Because in this kind of environment, we're dealing with a lot of law enforcement.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I understand what you were trying to say.
Here, like for instance, we're going to be in a situation where there's going to be a lot of wives with their cop husbands there. And walking up to us is not going to be a comfortable situation for them to do. So,
well, actually, it doesn't have to be, because actually what we offer is not something that's going to automatically point the finger at a good guy, bad guy. This is just educational information that any woman should know, any man should know, because you never know. 1 in 4 women are abused. That's statistics. So no question, we know somebody who is in an abusive situation. So if anything, that information can be used for somebody else, and they don't have to feel unsafe. We know how to be cautious with things that are said, and nothing needs to be talked about, you know, in that environment. We'll offer our email addresses, and you can contact us directly, and we can go from there.
And this is what I want our listeners to be able to really, really know and understand. So we'll be sharing this information again, over and over again, that we will be here on October 12th. We'll be in Tustin, California, and we will have all the information that you will need, and it'll be a very safe environment to come up with whatever questions you might have. Tracy, do you have any other questions or information before we end today, and how do you feel?
Well, if anyone wants to learn more about the evidentiary abuse affidavit, they can go to www.documenttheabuse.com. And if you're interested in looking into who Susan Murphy Milano is, you can also go to her website, which is susanmurphy-milano.com. And everything you'll need is right there.
And what about you? How can our audience get a hold of you?
Best way to reach me is on Facebook. And I'm Tracy Andrews Murphy at Facebook.
Perfect. Now, what would you like to say to our audience before we go? Is there anything else?
What would I like to say? Well, I'd like to say to people that might be in violent situations or toxic situations to never discount anything that happens. We often minimize it and say, oh, it's just this once. Oh, we won't do it again. But those are the important facts. Those are the important things to document. And if anything I would like to say is just check out the website. Learn about how and why it's so important to create a trail, create evidence, create documentation. And one for law enforcement or advocates out there, this is the best tool that you can ever come across to help a victim get out safely and stay alive. It will ease your job. It will ease your job, eliminate tons of paperwork and investigation costs and so on and so forth.
One of the things that I wanted to really, really understand, and one of the things that I'm in awe of, and Tracy, yes, I am going to talk about you for a minute. You've only been out of your situation for a very short time, and so I'm really, really proud of you. You've done an amazing job, because how long has it been since you've been out?
2009.
See, and I'm just in awe. So I want to thank you so much for taking up the torch, because what you've said yes to is huge. Taking this and taking it on this level and going and really opening up these doors so you can really share the passion that you have to take this legacy of Susan's and really, really spread it, not just in the state of California, but all throughout each state, and to really have our advocates know and understand. So I just want to thank you so much, because there are so many voices out there that are still silenced, and it's your voice that's going to help them push through. So really, thank you so much. And if you're not being thanked enough, I really want to make sure that you're feeling it right now.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's not something that is difficult for me. It's something that I know it's something
that you're meant to do. And I am blessed that we're going to be able to move forward. And again, this is just kind of like a pilot show we just did off the cuff today. So thank you so much, as we're learning and we are going to figure out how we're going to move forward with Susan's legacy and really, really raise awareness and promote education and seek justice for all of those that have been silenced by abuse. So, Tracy, we will see you next week, and I look forward to really, really moving forward with all of this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal's Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, You Decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Soul Sister Radio.